This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're doing Something Borrowed. And if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Yo, 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 are you ready?
Yeah, yeah, for One Dry Kiss.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy irreverent love letter to rom-coms, where we recap one February movie in the month of February. Today we are doing Something Borrowed, and I am here with my podcast co-host, Miss Tamara Cosio, who I have never borrowed a boyfriend or fiance from. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, thanks. I was going to say, and I'm here with Corinne Edding, a friend who would let me borrow anything, but now I'm going to take that back.
Can't borrow my man's.
Can't borrow my man's.
Do you have anything going on in your world?
Oh, I want to know about this dream that I was chastising you for before we started recording, because missed opportunity to have an ODK theme song. Oh. Corinne, you want to share what happened?
I happened to have a dream within this past week. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, y'all. But I happened to have, I'm just saying it while I remember. I happened to have a dream within the past week where I was involved with the band Queen. Freddie Mercury was alive. And I composed in my head in the dream. Now, it was their song, but it was an original Queen song, so I composed it in my head during the dream, and it wasn't bad. It just, but it was a lot. It was a big dream. It had a lot going on.
You were the fifth man.
Anxiety.
Fifth member of Queen.
Yeah. And they decided, not with the big boots, but they were like dressing up kind of Kiss style, and it was a lot.
And the reason why I was upset is because I'm like, oh my God, what did the song sound like? And you said, I don't remember. I did when I first woke up. And I'm like, that's when you get your goddamn phone and you put on your recorder and you just lay out that initial track to share with us in the world.
My original Queen song is sadly lost. The world will never hear it. Yes. Unless I have another Queen dream, in which case it will probably make a reappearance.
Okay, or unless you do like the B-side track to your A-side, not nearly as good because, you know, it's lost to the ages, but still, you gotta record that shit. Mm.
I have to say that I absolutely hate this movie after doing the outline this week.
There are like three consecutive love stories going on. There are so many fights. There are so many secondary and tertiary locations. There's so many extraneous storylines that go nowhere that never come back. It was a lot.
I actually sent you a thank you today because I was like, I'm so glad that I did not do this script and that Miss Tamara did, because they fight a lot in this movie and I don't like scripting out the fights. No. So
this decision's going to paint all my future decisions, because I'm like, I'm never picking anything like this ever again. I miss the Hallmark simplicity that we usually have.
Oh, and I feel that too, because next week we're doing the movie Bros, and there is so much color that I cut out of it. Y'all will have to watch the movie because there is so many like details and history and jokes and stuff like that that just can't be included in this because there's so much going on. It is packed. It's a packed movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, cut, 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 cut.
This one's also crammed to the gills. It is chock full. And the sad thing is, I was like, I have to cut this. Like, I am not a great editor. I realize that. So hopefully this episode's not 3 hours long.
I think it'll be fine. I gave the movie a second-ish watch. And, you know, I liked it about as much as I did the first time I saw it.
Oh, really? So not a lot.
Yeah.
Corinne, do you have a synopsis for Something Borrowed?
Why, yes. used gentler words for me than I used for myself to prompt me, but I appreciate the beautiful sentence that you prompted me with. So thank you.
Pretty please do the synopsis with sugar on top.
Yes.
Yep, is what I said.
If you just put my name there, I probably would have missed it. So
you'd be like, yes, that's my name. Thank you. Moving on.
You spelled it right. Congratulations. Rachel, played by Jennifer Goodwin, has always been the best friend, standing in the shadow of Darcy, played by Kate Hudson, her prettier, more outgoing friend's light. And Darcy, she is pretty perfect. She gave up going to Notre Dame that Darcy didn't get into, just so she could go to school with Darcy. Darcy is such a good friend that when Rachel was in law school and introduced Darcy to her law school crush Dext, played by Colin Egglesfield, she tried to set them up. But when Rachel insisted that they were just friends, well, she obviously snagged that hottie for herself, and the rest is history. Darcy is about to get married to Dex when things go a bit sideways after Rachel and Dex have a chance drunken encounter where Darcy tells him she's always had a crush on him, and they end up doing the dirty together. Will Rachel and Darcy prove that besties are better than the resties? Or will Dex be Rachel's something borrowed? Keep those listening ears listening to find out.
I do have to say that when I did a little research too, I'm like, Colin Egglesfield does not sound like a hot guy name.
No, not at all.
Nothing against the Egglesfields of the world, but when I was like, oh, so this guy, Colin Egglesfield? Oh, okay. Egglesfield sounds like he should be an accountant somewhere.
It just sounds unappetizing, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, like the breakfast you don't want.
No. But he does a good job in this movie. And this was your pick. So thank you, Tam, for this wild ride that is something borrowed. Are you ready to get into it?
No. If I knew it was going to be such a wild ride after hour 10, I would have kicked you off and burned the shit down to the ground. But I was already too invested. But anyway, since now we're here, we must. We open with Rachel, played by Jennifer Goodwin, making her way down a dark city street, approaching Club Crimson. And this club has everything. Intimidating bouncers, locked doors, velvet ropes, and a surprise inside. They tell her that there's a private event going on. And
is it me
she
jumping out
looks
of the cake? Surprise!
Probably, Corinne. If you're left to your own devices, you're going to be in a cake somewhere in the world.
It's true.
She looks exasperated, but sighs and says, they're kind of expecting me. So the bouncers part. Who is this girl who seemingly has Jedi powers over doormen? We will find out. She makes her way in, and there is a short pause before the lights get flipped on, and a large group of 20-somethings yell, surprise! There is a huge banner hanging over them that says, happy birthday, Rachel, and an energetic blonde parts through the crowd with a huge pink boa. It's Darcy, Rachel's bestie, played by Kate Hudson. And I put Rachel's bestie with a question mark. And yes, that question mark is intentional. We'll find out why. She throws the boa over Rachel's head momentarily and then reclaims it because she doesn't need it and chatters on about, I know you said not to, but I couldn't help myself. Are you mad? Rachel assures her she's not and then goes to the bathroom to change into a black party dress that she had stashed in her purse. So I'm imagining that she probably knew something was going on and had a myriad of outfits in that bag for whatever happened to come her way.
Yeah, she had the quintessential LBD. And also, she gave the worst surprised reaction. She was like, oh, I'm so surprised.
Well, I think you made a really good point when we were discussing this. You're like, I bet you none of those are her friends. Like, there's a group of Darcy's friends. Yay, I'm with a bunch of people that I could care less about being in a place partying with.
Well, because like everybody else surprised, Kate Hudson comes out, or Darcy, and then she's like, oh, birthday surprise, yay. And then she's like, okay, and she congas back into the club, and everybody else just follows her and leaves Rachel all by her lonesome. And I was like, none
happy
of y'all are her friends.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to Rachel. But she's not alone for long because in the bathroom while she's changing, she is interrupted by Ethan, played by John Krasinski.
Ah, hello, lover.
He goes inside, and for a second, we wonder, is he an overzealous server? Another bouncer? A peeping Tom? No. He's one of Rachel's oldest and dearest friends. He assures her that he's just there checking to make sure she doesn't have any razor blades stashed, and she assures him that she's fine, and accuses him of just coming in there to avoid Claire, a friend of hers that Ethan recently slept with. She encourages him to just go talk to her, but he's got no time for that and doesn't want to. They go back out, and of course they run into the aforementioned Claire, clad in a color-blocked strapless dress under a sequins jacket. Hello, Claire. The 80s called, and they want their bad music video garb back. They're trying to make this girl look crazy. Oh. They did a good job.
Claire is so freaking fracking sweet. She doesn't do anything wrong this entire movie. She's shat on by other people. And
including me. I'm sorry, Claire. I'm sorry.
And she also was in Two Tickets to Paradise, with Ryan Pavey.
Yes. Okay, well, she's just a fashion victim. I will not say anything else negative about Claire. She walks over and immediately starts discreetly, non-discreetly, trying to get Ethan to go someplace more private with her. A winky winky. He shuts that shit down, telling her he's just there for Rachel's birthday. But Claire will not be deterred. She needs him to see her drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. So she drags him onto the dance floor, much to his dismay. Once alone, Rachel locks eyes with Dex, played by Colin Egglesfield, the sexiest name in the biz, who congratulates her on her impressive feigned surprise response, which Corinne begs to differ on.
Strongly.
Rachel implores him not to tell Darcy. She'd be devastated. And he assures her that he won't. When his old family friend Marcus, played by Steve Howey, slides in, puts his arm around Dex, and demands to be introduced to the birthday girl. Brief intros are made before Marcus inappropriately tells Rachel, age only intensified sexual pleasure, before getting distracted by a leggy blonde and tootling off. So this guy is a douche, basically.
You know, I can't say that he's wrong.
I think you just get to know your body more. I'm not arguing with the man, but I wouldn't say like anything down there started working better as the years went on. I don't know. That's just me. Just then the TV screen blink on from the club stage and Darcy makes her way onto it. And the raucous crowd cheers for her. Darcy reminds him that she's getting married in 6 weeks, looks over at her fiancé Dex and informs him, you weren't my first love. A slideshow blinks across the screen showing younger versions of Darcy and Rachel having sleepovers, reenacting dirty dancing, doing the notorious salt and pepper routine. And even Ethan is there, escorting a 12-ish Darcy and Rachel to a dance. We shared everything, she shouts, including Ethan. But then the slideshow gets a little one-sided. It shows the college years where Rachel was a serious student at NYU, and Darcy was there close by because she selflessly declined admission to Notre Dame to be closer to her bestie. But she continues, of course it was meant to be because Rachel introduced me to her classmate Dex, the very man I'm going to be marrying. She says a few more sweet things about Rachel being her bestest friend, like a mother she often needed, and the person who always had her back. Rachel, who's in the forefront of the audience, seems touched, but Ethan, who's next to her, asks, so who exactly are we celebrating? But she brushes him off because this is quintessential Darcy.
Because Darcy's showing pictures of her and Dex over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Towards the end of the night, Darcy is sloppy drunk dancing on the stage, and Dex's fiance extraordinaire grabs her, coaxing her to go home. On their way out, they say goodbye to Rachel, and Darcy drunkenly implores Rachel, tell Dex I'm fine. You had a good time, right? Oh, those shoes are ugly. I always hated them. Dex pulls her away, and Rachel is left at the party she never wanted to have, just having been insulted by her bestie. Happy birthday to me.
And your ugly shoes.
Hey. A short while later, Rachel and Ethan are also leaving. She catches a glimpse of herself and starts lamenting about her age. Ethan gives her 10 seconds to have a pity party before a taxi cab pulls up. But it's not a ride for them. It's actually Dex coming back. Darcy's new Chanel bag got lost and maybe at the club. Rachel balks. Not her new $2,000 Chanel bag. Rachel puts Ethan in the cab, telling him, I need to help find Rachel's bag. Which Dex and Rachel quickly do. It was on the club floor, wedged between some seats.
She's lucky it was still there. I'm sorry. $2,000 Chanel bag in a club. I know it was their friends and whatever, but...
Yeah, it was a private party, so the chances higher.
It was a private party, but if you had a $2,000 Chanel bag that you left behind, I might be like, oh, I'm just going to dump all this stuff out and take the bag, and next time you see me, is that my Chanel bag, Tamara? No. I just liked yours so much, I went and bought one exactly like it.
Oh.
It's mine.
It even has the same makeup stain on it. Huh. You just really love copying me. I feel so special.
Yes. All the different little dinks and cuts in it. I just had to just copy you to a T.
Great. Me and my $2,000 Chanel bags. You know.
I know. And I'm surprised you didn't say which one. Like, which Chanel bag would you have taken, Tam? Because there are many.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm all about the purses.
You know, I'm all about the purse, about the purse. No clutches. I'm all about the purse, no clutches. I actually did take a couple of your purses. Your Aura Riley.
Orla Kylie.
Thank you. Your Orla Kylie bags always have a home with me when you get sick of them, and sadly they stopped making them online.
No, they're making them again, but I haven't gotten any because you're like, because they're you know, they're not tan.
Oh, shut up. I don't just like tan. I'm not just a beige girl. God.
In this beige world.
I like gray too, I'll have you know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, color me shades of taupe. So, anywho, while they're waiting for a cab back home after having found the bag, Dex asks Rachel, so did you have a good time tonight? And Rachel says, yes, but Dex can tell she didn't. So he suggests they get one more drink together. She's reluctant, but agrees, and they go back to their old law school watering hole. They have an easy conversation about what they would do if they could do anything. Dex admits that he would love to be a high school teacher, but can't because he needs to live up to his parents' expectations and carry on the family legacy of being a lawyer. Cheerio! Rachel sees a lusty brunette at the opposite end of the bar giving Dex the eye. Rachel gestures towards her, telling Dex, you are freaking that girl out. She can't understand what you're doing with me. Hot people belong with hot people.
I just have to take a moment to point out that Jennifer Goodwin played Snow White in the series Once Upon a Time.
Uh-huh.
She was a fucking princess.
Yes.
So you can imagine how homely and plain this girl is. She's in that she's not.
Well, she is good looking. She is attractive, but she's not a hottie. She's not sexy. Snow White is not sexy. She's just cute.
They just downplayed her sexiness. She could be sexy if she wanted to.
Well, you can throw anyone in a corset and some eyeliner and, you know, some fake lashes and bam. But
yes, she would be giving Darcy a run for her money. It's just they were downplaying her hotness.
She'd need to have a lot of other things going on if she was going to be the woman who was at the bar who looked like she should be serving at Hooters. Dex is tickled by her observation and hollers at the girl. Hey, you're making my girlfriend uncomfortable. Rachel laughs and blurts out. That's why I had such a huge crush on you in college. He's surprised and her face falls when she realizes he didn't know that she had a crush on him. Oh, well, that was the last drink. They get a cab together asking for two drop-offs. The cab starts driving and Rachel apologizes. I'm sorry. I don't know why. She turns her head towards him, but he doesn't give her a chance to finish. He lays a passionate, wet kiss on her lips. And although she looks surprised, she hungrily goes in for more. The two of them passionately making out and the cab making one stop instead of two.
Mm-hmm. Rachel,
How could you?
You know, a kiss is just a kiss.
Right. Until it leads to other things, which I'm sure you will tell us about in the next section.
I'm about to. The title screen, Something Borrowed, comes up. And I don't think borrowing fiancés is the best idea. Just saying is all.
I don't think it's called borrowing if you are borrowing a fiancé. Pretty sure the person might not want that person back after you borrow him. Them, he, she, them, whoever.
Lending library of fiancés. Well, let me check you out. Beep, beep.
Oh, I'm going to have to extend that that checkout time. I'm going to need another 2 weeks.
I need a renewal. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
The next morning, Rachel is woken up by Darcy's voice booming from the answering machine across the room. Rachel, Rach, where are you? Dex didn't come home last night. I think he's cheating on me. You know hot people get cheated on sometimes. Darcy looks over and freaks out. Dex is in bed with her. They're naked together. And for the first time ever in movie history, she is actually not in an odd amount of clothing for somebody who got drunk and had sex. She is like buck naked in bed with him.
We have to also explain to the younger listeners that there used to be something called a phone answering machine, and you would try to call people's homes to get a hold of them. And if they didn't answer their home phone, because there was no cell phones, there was a machine that you could talk into and leave a message. And oftentimes, if you were there, you could hear the message playing. So it's not like her magic phone was talking to her from out of thin air.
Oh my God, you remember when Jen called you about the tsunami?
Oh my God. Jenny, if you're listening to this, Kansas Jenny, I'm so sorry, but God damn it, I wanted to strangle her so bad. There was an earthquake. There was potential for a tsunami. Jennifer heard it. I'm pretty sure it was late because we were already in bed, and either she was up very early in the morning, somehow she had heard about the tsunami warning and saw fit to call my home phone over and over again, screaming at me to wake up because there was a tsunami coming and I could potentially drown. I normally would just be like, fucking crazy, Jen, like whatever. But my roommate at the time's parents were sleeping in the living room and finally after the seventh or eighth call had to knock on my door and be like, somebody is losing their shit on your answering machine. You might want to answer it. So I had to answer it and talk her off the ledge. And I was like, there is no tsunami, Jennifer. I'm like 7 miles inland. I'm sure it's fine. Good night. I love her, but she's a little bit of an alarmist, especially if anything happens near or around California, and I'm ready for a tornado to come whizzing by her neighborhood so I can return the favor someday.
Well, you know, she was just looking out for you, and Darcy was just looking out for herself. So,
Oh, surprising. She's so selfless.
I know. So they're all naked. And so Dex and Darcy
just jump back into the debauchery.
Are naked in bed together. This is not okay. Dex quickly gets dressed, saying he'll let her know. He'll let Darcy know that he stayed with Marcus last night. And once he heads out, Rachel answers the phone as Darcy has called again. Darcy is livid, but seems just as pissed that she couldn't get a hold of Rachel as she is about not being able to reach her fiancé. She asks if Rachel thinks Dex is cheating. Rachel waits a beat before steeling her resolve and assuring her friend that, no, he's not cheating. He loves you. She then digs into the lie. I think I saw him watching sports with Marcus last night. Cricket. Darcy is skeptical, but then Darcy's other line rings. It's Dex finally calling her back, and she quickly hangs up.
Once alone, Rachel flops on the bed, alone with her regrets, and notices her college torts book. She has a flashback, of the first time she met Dex. It was torts class. She was seated and brought 6 ballpoint pens to her first day just in case and adjusted them carefully on the desk when a voice from behind asks, do you have 4 pens I can borrow? She enthusiastically says, yes, yes, I do. But when she looks up into Dex's handsome smiling face, she realizes he's teasing her. He takes a seat next to her, and when the professor comes in to begin the lecture, she opens her notebook so quickly she pushes all
spill her pens onto the ground in front of her, and it seems next to impossible to reach them. Then Dex slowly slides his pen over to her. She picks it up like a lifeline, but then realizes it's his only one. He didn't bring six like her? That's crazy. He assures her it's okay. He'll just listen. And he means it. He sits back and focuses on the professor while she takes notes and steals sideways glances at him with hearts growing in her eyes.
Aww.
Later that night, it seems like Rachel's disinfecting her entire apartment. Like, oh, what kind of jizz did you get all over the place, girlfriend? Are you just trying to clean your apartment or your guilty conscience? What's happening there? Disinfecting her whole apartment while watching Fatal Attraction. Interesting choice. Question mark. All the question marks are intentional. When the phone rings, caller ID says it's Darcy, but when she picks it up, the voice on the other end is Dex. He apologizes because he used Darcy's phone to reach out, but he just wanted to make sure she's okay. He's standing outside of a cafe while Darcy, out of earshot, is ordering inside. Not much can be said between them, though, because Darcy beelines it out and asks, "Who are you talking to?" He says Rachel, and she promptly snatches a phone and gives a half-hearted apology about not calling her back. It's evident that Darcy thinks Rachel called her, and she keeps up the ruse by nonchalantly asking, "So, what happened with you and Dex?" Darcy says that Dex crashed at Marcus's, and then whispers into the phone, but now he's acting all weird and says, "We have to talk about something more serious. But anyways, I gotta go." She air kisses the phone and says she'll call back later. Rachel's not done. She tries urgently to be like, "Can I just talk to Dex really, really quick?" But the phone goes dead. She sits there with the receiver in her hand while her TV blares on Glenn Close in the pivotal moment of the movie where she gets shot to death by her lover, who she was having a torrid affair with. Not unnerving at all. The next day, the besties are at a bridal boutique trying on wedding gowns. Just Darcy, not Rachel. But apparently the conversation Dex was supposed to have with her had nothing to do with infidelity. I wonder what the hell he said the talk was about then.
I don't know. Or did he even have that talk with her?
Secrets. I don't think she'd let it go. Or maybe she kind of like sensed there was blood in the water and was like, "Oh, did you want to talk to me about something? No? Okay, let's just move on."
I think he could probably easily enough distract her with shiny objects, alcohol, what else?
Chanel bags.
A bar that doesn't have anyone dancing on it. Oh, no. What are you going to do? Darcy,
you better get
out
of that shit. You need to hand it. Darcy, there's a whole bar top there with no booties on it dropping like it's hot. You got to go get that girl.
Come on.
Darcy comes out of the dressing room in a gown that's interesting. But Rachel performs her maid of honor duties flawlessly and gushes over her. "Oh, Darcy, you look so beautiful." She stands on the podium in front of a myriad of mirrors and starts getting teary-eyed. The bridal shop attendees start tittering, thinking she's having her bridal moment and getting emotional. But Rachel eyes her friend suspiciously, slowly walks over and asks, "Are you okay?" And she is. "I just have these different mascaras I have to try, and I want to make sure they don't run when I cry. God, I wish I could just cry more." Rachel flusters and sits back down. She knows her friend does not have a sentimental bone in her body.
Okay. Wait. So she's there like, I need to be here on my wedding day and crying, but I want to make sure my mascara doesn't run. So you're performatively crying in the bridal shop? Why don't you just like sit in front of your mirror with like a mister and just spray on your face and just see what happens there? Like, what the heck?
Because she needed to see how the tears looked under the mascara, in the dress, the whole package.
Oh.
She can't just speculate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can be so dense, and I'm very appreciative of you explaining and clarifying.
Yes. You have to see how the tears reflect the white of the dress. Will they glisten? Will they sparkle? Like, what's going to happen? So Rachel starts tuning out the activities, and she has another flashback back to a study session her and Dex had one night late at the law library. They're laughing and having a good time, much to the dismay of other library patrons who constantly shh them. Dex teaches Rachel about mnemonics, which are helpful for remembering law case material. He says duty, breach, causation, and damages can be turned into DBCD, to which they banter back and forth about what funny phrases they could use to remember it. Rachel offers deliver by Christmas Day, and Dex counters, how about don't blame Cameron Diaz? This causes her to erupt into peals of laughter while genuinely trying to calm down because it wasn't that funny. She's laugh crying and Dex wipes her tears and offers the final phrase, "What about Dex buys celebratory dinner when this is over?" She agrees, but her demeanor changes. The surprise in her face by his touch immediately gets.
It's a new word.
I can't say immediately. What is wrong with me? Touch immediately gets glossed over because he can't like her, right?
Later in the flashback, Rachel and Dex are in a bar talking first kisses, their hands slowly inching towards each other, when Darcy crashes in, bringing the party with her. Tequila shots for everyone! Ooh. And this is like during the Girls Gone Wild era this was made. And she is just channeling that Girls Gone Wild kind of vibe.
For reals, yeah. Girls Gone Wild, NYU! Woo, woo, woo!
Oh, let's play Truth or Dare. Darcy slides in next to Dex, and Darcy.
That's a fucking party foul there, honey, bunches of oats. You go to go sit by your best friend. You don't sit by the guy she likes. What the fuck is wrong with you, Darcy?
Okay. I would think, like, you might want to stare into your bestie's eyes.
Don't give me that. If you start sitting across, like, and it no, mm-mm. Okay. I will just, like, get a chair and put it at the end and no. That's a party foul. Party foul.
Okay. The more Corinne knows, bling. Got it.
Future reference. Girls Gone Wild. You know how they have, like, the Girls Gone Wild categories, like, Girl Gone Wild college years, Girls Gone Wild at the beach. This is Girls Gone Wild sitting at the wrong end of the fucking table.
Woo! Rachel quickly moves her hands away from Dex's when Darcy barges in. Darcy continues, "Okay, I'll start." She turns coyly to Dex. "Dare. Take Rachel on a real date instead of whatever this is." He pauses and nervously looks at Rachel before Rachel exclaims, "Darcy, we're just friends." His face falls slightly and he takes a therapeutic sip of beer before Darcy goes in for the kill. "Well then, ask me out." She dares. She really, like, gave a lot of time for that to breathe, you know? Yeah. Maybe check in with Rachel, bathroom break, make sure that it's okay, actually, you know?
Because she even said, like, when she first sat down, she's like, "Oh, I don't know. He's pretty good looking." And then, like, proceeded to get undressed next to him. So, like, she was putting it out there.
Dex looks at his study mate confused, but Rachel just holds up her hand saying, "Hey, don't look at me." Perhaps out of hurt feelings, he begins flirting with the very forward Darcy. Rachel looks on with small daggers in her eyes at the events folding out in front of her. Events she could end at any moment, but she seems powerless to Darcy, the flaming disco ball that is Darcy. Rachel is snapped back to reality by Darcy, who asks whether she should wear the dress with or without the veil. Rachel sees the veil on and her face softens. "With," she says definitively. They eventually leave the store when Darcy stops, concerned about Rachel's spinsterhood since she's already 30. "I've been meaning to talk to you, Tamara. Your birthday's coming up."
Oh my God, you need to stop. I am like 16 years past 30, so if you were concerned about me turning 30, that ship has passed. It's sunk. It's been rebuilt. The second sister ship is now afloat. It's a dungeon.
No, 47. I'm concerned about you turning 47 and, you know, not being married. And where are your children? I just don't even know. Oh, no, you're froze.
There you are.
Oh, yay.
All I heard was, "You're concerned about me turning 47 and what now?"
"Your children not being married." "Your lack of children."
I was going to say, "Well, I don't have children and I'm not married." Shut up. I see where you're going.
You are farther on the relationship train than I am. So choo-choo to you.
Yes, this is true.
Oh, so Darcy lets Rachel know that she's invited Marcus, who thought she was cute. winky, winky, to the Hamptons.
Marcus thought everybody was cute. Like, come on now.
Marcus was like, do you have a heartbeat? Ooh, sexy.
I think Bugs Bunny's kind of hot when he's dressed up like a girl bunny.
They have rented a house to spend weekends in for the summer. And both Tam and I wonder, is that a common East Coast thing? We see it in the movies and in reality shows, but really? Listeners, please let us West Coasters know. Do people actually do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it so unbearable in the city that you have to flee to the coast? I mean, I know humidity's a thing in New York, but...
Yeah. I know. They do, like, the Jersey Shore, too, is all about running the summer house, you know? So that weekend, Dex and Rachel pull up in their Land Rover with Marcus, a.k.a. Smarmy McSmarmington. finger gun.
Yes.
In the back, Rachel has brought her other bestie, Ethan, as a wingman to hopefully act as a buffer for her and Marcus. But really, is there any buffer from Marcus who slaps Ethan on the ass and tries demanding a kiss toll from Rachel to get into the car? Question mark. The answer's no. There is no buffer from Marcus.
And then they're off to the Hamptons, and we get a Hampton montage. There's designer stores, beaches, mansions, polo players, and lots of other 20-somethings looking to party away their summer weekends.
Oh, yeah.
They finally get to their summer house, and it's a nice Cape Cod style right on the beach. The front door flies open, and it's Claire from the party.
Front door, front door, both.
Probably valid at this point with the way the weather's going. Okay, I apologize. The front door flies open and Claire from the party waves an excited hello to the arrivals. And then she sees Ethan and practically shrieks with joy. As everyone files in, she tries to give him a hug, but he deftly pushes Rachel between them and escapes. Then we see another montage of their first day and night partying around a bonfire on the beach. Darcy's being the life of the party, matched only by Marcus, who continuously pours shot, while Claire tries to shake her booty to attract Ethan. He still refuses to talk to her, instead resorting to the power of avoidance. After the bonfire dies down, everyone goes to Jetty, a local watering hole, and there Marcus attempts to hit on anything with boobs. Rachel sips yet another cocktail while intently watching Darcy put her hands all over Dex's ass. She hears a voice saying, blah, 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 staring. It's Ethan. She thinks she's been caught in the act. But no, the staring he's referring to is being done by Claire, who's giving him the eyes while suggestively chomping on her straw. He is put off, but right now Rachel can really relate and offers that maybe Claire is just a girl who slept with him thinking he liked her and didn't just want sex. Ethan finally agrees to have a word with Claire, but when she finally approaches, he ducks out.
And
chicken.
I want to say, like, Ethan, in general, throughout this movie, really good guy. But he shows that we all have our flaws. And his flaw is that he is never straightforward with Claire. And it's just not cool.
Yeah, he's straightforward with everybody else. How much he hates Darcy. He's straightforward about how much he's going to, like, defend Rachel. He's straightforward about how much he doesn't like Marcus. And so on and so forth. So it's just like, but with Claire, he's like, kryptonite, back away. Before long, Marcus settles up to Rachel. She calls him a shark because of his predatory flirting techniques, and he takes offense. He explains that he's actually quite sensitive. Once when he was 9, he nursed a sick baby chipmunk back to health and carried it around in his baby Bjorn, even though all of his neighbors teased him. So, he finishes, if you ever want to call me a shark again, just think about that baby chipmunk. And I like to think now that it's probably 9-year-old Marcus carrying around that little chipmunk and his baby Bjorn, thinking, this is going to give me so much pussy when I get older.
Oh my gosh. Remember when, so Marcus Shark, he's like, dun, 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 after all the women in the club.
Yes.
And
yes.
It made me, I just popped into my head. Remember that one time we went out dancing and there was this guy
oh my God.
who you, you danced with once and then he would not leave you alone. And you were like literally ducking people through people on the dance floor. And he was like,
yeah,
he ended up having to be forcibly removed from the club.
He got escorted out by security. Yeah. My favorite part was because he was really drunk. And after a dance or so, I was like, okay, this boy is hammered. So I was like, okay, thank you. And started walking away. And he was like, wait, come back, let's talk. And I was just like, oh, okay, if I just like get out of his eyesight and out of his line of vision and just like a little razzle dazzle, then he'll forget all about me. I know how it is to be like super hammered. But no, he was not forgetting. And
he was a man on a mission.
He was a man on a mission. And I passed by the bar a couple of times because I'm like, nope, still there. I'm going to circle back. And some girl's like, run, girl. He's getting closer. Run. So I was like imagining she was watching the whole shit going down. And I was all, thank you. And I don't know if it was her or somebody else, but a bouncer a short while later was like, sir, you need to stop doing that, and escorted him out.
Oh, yeah. I was like, because I went up to the bar and I was like, can we do something for my friend? Because you could like look down from the bar at the dance floor and there was like you being like ducking in between people squatting down and him being like going around. Me like, hey.
It was like a not fun version of fucking club in Pac-Man. Waka, 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 going around the patrons trying to get away from the fucking drunk ass ghost that was coming after me. Oh. Well, okay. It's still my turn, damn it. Rachel's face softens because the story was actually pretty sweet, and Marcus sees his in. He produces a joint and asks if she wants to get some fresh air. At first, she seems appalled, but after seeing Darcy and Dex canoodling, she figures why the fuck not and heads out with him. And they just smoke a joint. Nothing more. But not too long, a little bit later at the house, everyone is winding down for the night. The last ones standing in the living room are Dex and Darcy, sitting in one love seat across from Rachel and Marcus on the other. Marcus keeps trying to give Dex the eye for get the hell out of here, but he's not budging. And even though Rachel looks extremely uncomfortable, Darcy leaves and drags her reluctant fiancé with her, singing Have Fun behind her. But if your friend is not comfortable and not into a guy, don't shove them together and then leave the room.
Oh. On God's green earth, who would you set up Marcus with?
I don't know. Like, okay, spoiler, Darcy seems kind of into him and thinks he's like a catch because she invited him and then is practically pushing her bestie on top of him.
I understand, Marcus. You know, he is what he is. And in some ways, he's a good guy. And in other ways, he's a big smarmy McSmarmington. And I'd be like, okay, he's the person that I warn all my friends about. And just be like, hey, you may end up having a dirty night with him, but just be forewarned. He's a dirty, dirty boy.
Yes. No, no, no.
He is not somebody who
Darcy's
I'm like...
Darcy's getting him liquored up and sticking him on a love seat together, turning off the lights and leaving the room.
Yeah, he's not somebody that I would be like, I'm worried about you being single and not being married at the age of 30. Here, Marcus, the man who will go after anything with a heartbeat and breasts. No!
Oh, maybe she thinks that she's that desperate. Mm. If only you knew, Darcy. But Rachel's not having it because a little while later, the only thing they're doing is watching a movie. And the movie is Wild Things. And have you seen Wild Things, Corinne?
No.
It is full of all kinds of dirty sex scenes, so I'm sure that was Marcus's movie choice.
I know the movie of which you speak, though.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. As they're watching, distinct moaning comes from upstairs, and Rachel assures Marcus that that's just a cat. But alas, it's not. Her bestie is having loud, boisterous sex with Dex!
Really?
This unnerves Rachel, but seemingly titillates Marcus and Claire, who's heard the commotion upstairs and is trying to get into Ethan's room. She opens his door in a sexy floral nightie and asks to come in if he wants, if she can come in and sleep with him from all this craziness out here. And Ethan finally talks to her, but changes tactics from avoidance to outright lies and tells Claire that he's gay. He just figured it out being in the Hamptons, rolls over to go back to sleep thinking she's cool with it, but she jabs her finger in his direction and happily tells him, I accept the challenge. He's confused until she explains that she will be his BGF, best girlfriend, here to assist him in this confusing time.
Aww.
He assures her he doesn't need a girlfriend. He needs a boyfriend, potentially many boyfriends, but it doesn't matter. She's all in, whether he likes it or not. Back downstairs, Rachel and Marcus are privy to Darcy's loudest throes of passion. Rachel looks crushed while Marcus throws his hands up in the air as if he's commentating on a football game.
The next day, Rachel's had enough. Early in the morning, she wheels her suitcase downstairs and informs everyone she has work she has to get back to. Darcy calls Rachel's boss a jerk, and Ethan quietly drinks his coffee and surprisingly doesn't offer to leave with her because I assume she was the reason he was there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Ethan's like, oh, you're leaving, let's go. He's just like, okay, bye.
I know.
Like, you hate everybody here, Ethan. I don't get it.
You beautifully wrote the script and you pointed that out. And I was like, yeah, yeah. What about that? I hadn't noticed it before you said anything. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
He doesn't like Marcus. He doesn't like Darcy. He's trying to avoid Claire. What's he doing there?
Maybe he's getting his man courage up to ask Dex out on a date. Maybe Dex is the something borrowed times two. Oh?
Dex is getting all the play in this version of the movie. Gosh darn.
Yeah. Darcy commands Ethan to convince Rachel to stay. Ethan puts on his best vapid valet voice and says, oh my God, you gotta stay or else you'll miss the second half of the porno going on tonight. Darcy scowls at him and accuses him of still being in love with her. He crosses his eyes at Darcy, responding, oh my God, totally. And Rachel is ready to go. Ethan walks in from the next room and offers to drive her. She agrees and they're off. Once they get to the jitney, Dex puts the car in park, looks at her and says, you didn't really have to work this weekend, did you? Rachel responds, I just had so much fun listening to you and Rachel have really loud sex last night. I did really consider staying another day, but that's just what went through her head. In reality, they waffle back and forth between proclaiming they will forget.
Oh, so she said that? I don't remember that part. God, good for you, Rachel.
I know.
Damn it.
The movie got interesting all of a sudden. No. No, it didn't.
No. Shucks.
Waffle back and forth between proclaiming that they will forget each other, apologizing, and trying to decipher how the other feels. Rachel says, we were both really drunk, and Dex interrupts. I wasn't that drunk. He looks at her soberly. They lock eyes. And Rachel hustles out of the car to the jitney.
Yeah. They're together. They have plenty of time to have a one-on-one conversation. Uh-huh. They avoid it till she's about to get out of the car. And then nothing. They don't get to talk. They don't get to resolve anything. And this comes back to bite them because we'll get to it.
Okay, but like these are two grown-ass people who have grown-ass jobs that they go to during the week. And they can't manage to pick up a phone in their fucking private offices, have a conversation with each other, make a lunch date, meet after work. Like, during the weekday, they can't manage to somehow communicate with each other? How?
No.
How? What? It makes absolutely no sense.
No, I did think it was really smart when he used Darcy's phone to call her, because I'm just like, oh, you dirty, dirty boy. At the last couple scenes ago, when he's like, I just wanted to call and see how you were, because Darcy's going to look at this and think that she called you or you called her and whatever, and it's not weird at all.
I thought that was weird, though, because if Larry called and was like, hey there, Sea Dog, and you and Larry were together, I was up here in Oakland, you guys were down in L.A., wouldn't you wonder why the fuck he was calling me?
No, I wouldn't know. I would just like, if they talked on a frequent basis as much as Rachel and Darcy do, I'd just be like, oh, I probably called her, butt dialed her or something. I would be less suspicious seeing your name on my phone. Like, I would, like, the way he handled it was beautiful because they both were like, oh, she must have called me. And he just answered the phone.
Oh.
Because he saw it ringing.
Okay.
And that's why she picked it up and she's like, oh, hey, sorry, I didn't call you back. Because she thought that Darcy called, or she thought Rachel called her phone.
Oh. I totally.
And that Dex just happened to pick it up.
I totally missed that implication. Because when she's like, who are you on the phone with? And Dex is like, I'm on the phone with Rachel. I'd be like, if it were me in those shoes, I'd be like, why are you on the phone with Rachel on my phone? Like, it makes no sense. But if Rachel had theoretically been calling and he happened to have been holding her phone, yes, that would make sense. You're very right. Once again, thank you for your wisdom, Miss Tamara. The more you know, bling.
I've watched this movie a lot.
Okay, that week, Rachel and Ethan meet for lunch at the Shake Shack. I'm sure they sponsored this movie, and I only mentioned their lunch because the fact that they have a relationship slash friendship is important to this movie, and also the fact that he doesn't love Darcy is kind of key as well.
I put that I bet you this was made when Shake Shack first opened up, when it was quintessentially a New York landmark. And they have a great episode about it on the podcast, how this got made, about how the Shake Shack opened in the middle of, I think, Central Park. And then now it's a nationwide franchise.
That night, Rachel makes her way into a bustling, hip restaurant and is surprised to see that she's not only meeting Darcy, Dex is also there. They both tell Darcy that they thought it was going to be just the two of them, but she brought them all here for a reason. She sits her bestie down and then squares off with the both of them. I know something is going on between the two of you. Rachel and Dex give each other brief, unreadable, and slightly panically looks. And she continues, I was reading cosmetology. I was reading Cosmopolitan weather skimming, and it is fairly common for the best friend and the husband to get jealous of losing the bride's attention. A slight air of relief permeates the table before Darcy demands, that is what's going on, right? Yes, Darcy, it's all about you. Dex chuckles and Rachel proclaims sheepishly, guilty. Darcy buys it hook, line, and sinker, since everything is about her in her world, and orders both of them to quit it, because I love you both. Over dinner, they seem to have a good time, because when we next see them, the place is almost empty, and Darcy is pulling her adult version of Truth or Dare. She hounds Rachel to tell her how Marcus was in bed. Dex pleads with Darcy to quit, but Darcy insists this is just girl talk. She asks Rachel if Marcus and her kissed. Rach gives suspicious eyes behind her wine glass. Darcy scoffs triumphantly. Dex didn't think y'all were going to hook up because you're too different. But she continues, if love was based on similarities, you would be with Dex, not me. Rachel almost chokes on her wine and Dex discreetly exits stage left to hail a cab. Once he's gone, Darcy pleads for Rachel to go see a potential wedding band with her the next night. Dex loves them, so she agreed to go, but she needs backup. Rachel reluctantly agrees, because when does she ever say no to Darcy?
The next night, Rachel's at the venue while a band plays a myriad of 90s tunes. There are couples everywhere, and she calls Darcy to ask where she's at. But Darcy admits she's not going to make it. Something's come up. She's in an esthetician's chair and obviously getting Botox injections. She asks Rachel to just listen to a couple songs and report back to me. Rachel hangs up feeling defeated until she notices Dex enter. He sees her and practically mouths, fucking shit. Is it because she's there? Or because his dismissive fiancée is not and has seemingly ducked out on the both of them? The latter is true, and they sit side by side in the crowd. Dex proclaims that Darcy's not right for doing this, pauses, and then asks, did you really have a crush on me in law school? Because you were all I ever thought about. Rachel starts getting teary-eyed and is conflicted until he asks her to look at him. Because he's also teary-eyed and says he can't stop thinking about her and doesn't know what to do, and if she feels the same, to please let him know. She holds his gaze for a moment before acknowledging, what? What does she say to Dex? Find out with us after this break.
I can't wait!
But I will. Does she say, A, I'm lactose intolerant, B, let's get a puppy together, C, your breath stinks, or D, it's too late. She says it's too late. And leaves in a huff. In a huff! She makes her way outside and almost towards a cab across the street as the Counting Crows sing, round here, in the background. So 90s. But something stops her. She turns around and there is Dex. They are drawn together like magnets and kiss in the middle of the street. And it's a good long one. And traffic has to continuously go around them because I'm pretty sure they're still in the street.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, are they in the middle of the street? Are they in the middle of the street? Those cars are being awfully polite going slowly.
Yes. Yes. They're just like creeping around them and just like, oh, okay, you guys just go ahead and keep kissing. I'll just mosey on over to this next lane and go right around you. Love prevails.
New Yorkers are so polite with their driving. I gotta say.
They are. Nobody owns a horn there or anything because they never honk. No. Not in this movie. Rachel eventually gets home and looks like she's walking on cloud nine. She checks her messages and there's one from Dex. He says that he can't believe what just happened between them and really hopes to see her that weekend in the Hamptons. A look of panic flashes across her face and then recognition, because if that's the only way she can see him, she'll do it. And next we see the Hampton House. Rachel's walking up the patio from the beach towards Dex, who's leisurely thumbing through a newspaper. They both say, hey, have hearts in their eyes, and lean in to catch up with each other. But it's super short-lived. Darcy saunters over and sits in Dex's lap. He looks annoyed and Rachel leaves, pretending that she forgot something inside. Darcy's oblivious and or distracted by Claire, who walks in wearing a bright pink t-shirt that says, legalize gay!
Aww.
I know.
I was like, I thought that shirt was cute, honestly.
Yeah. It's just, it was attention getting, that's all. Because it was bright pink.
Yeah. And it had bold letters on it, but it was like a cute kind of cursive-y font.
Mm-hmm. Darcy inquires as to why Claire's become such a big gay ally. And Dex uses this distraction as an opportunity to grab a round of beers, aka follow Rachel inside. Once there, he tries to apologize, but Ethan walks in and interrupts them again. Ethan casually waves, causing Dex and Rachel to scatter without a word. He waves again, with his face confused and then turning slightly suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we see everyone gathering on the patio for an early dinner. Darcy notices Ethan is there and is appalled. Why are you here? I didn't invite you back. He playfully admits that my flame for you still burns, Darcy, but then drops the facade and admits that his apartment was flooded, which explains this time that he's here, but why did he stay last time? Inquiring minds want to know, Ethan. Marcus is also there with the scantily clad blonde because they could bring guests, right? So the OG gang is all back together in the house plus one. Later that day, Rachel's running on the beach and catches Dex having a heartfelt conversation with his mom outside on the phone. When he hangs up, she asks how she is, and he explains that the wedding planning has really raised her spirits. And his whole life, he felt like he was the one that had to keep his mom happy, and she is thrilled about the wedding. He wants to say more, but Darcy calls him inside because the wedding invitations have arrived! And once again, their private moment has been thwarted by Darcy. And I said, maybe a rendezvous with a significant other present was a bad idea. You know where else you could have probably talked? In the car when you were driving alone to the shuttle. But no, let's try to have these deep, intimate conversations with Darcy skating the perimeter.
Great idea. Anytime during the work week, but no.
Or make a lunch date, as Corinne said. Lunch date in the car, not at the Steep Beach House with Darcy floating about. Anyways, Dex apologizes and leaves.
Ethan's suspicions about Ethan's suspicions about Dex.
That she's a bitch? Huh? That Darcy's a bitch? Yeah. Yeah.
He's thought long and hard about it. He has some cards for examples just to prove his point, but he still isn't quite sure if he's gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm. I have my overhead projector and a PowerPoint presentation I'd like to put out right now.
And go. His suspicions about Rachel and Dex are confirmed that night at Jetty's. The gang goes dancing, and Rachel's had enough of being the jealous one. But has she? Because she's acting super jealous. She sees Darcy and Dex dancing seductively close and drags an unsuspecting Marcus onto the floor with her. He's a little disappointed because he was 80% into telling another cute bar patron his touching sick chipmunk story. Probably the only story that he has. But he relents when he realizes he's privy to a dirty dancing face-off. Rachel positions herself next to Dex and Darcy and both drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot on their men. Rachel is getting down and dirty like she never has before, staring angrily at Dex while she does it. As he is making pointed eye contact with her as well. So subtil. So subtil.
So subtil.
All of this surprises Ethan, who's watching them from afar. But Darcy can't have the attention off of her, so she jumps on top of Marcus too. While Dex looks uncomfortably on, both girls get low, 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 low on the chipmunk rescue man, a.k.a. Smarmy McSmarmington, until Rachel falls down. Darcy asks, did you break your vagina? But she didn't. Rachel broke something close to her vagina and hobbles the fuck out of there, a.k.a. her heart. Why her heart is so close to her vagina, we will never know. Back at work. In Rachel's office, a beautiful bouquet of roses sits on her desk. She reads the card, which is unsigned, but says, sorry we couldn't talk last weekend. Can we try again? And I say, how hard is it? Oh, here we go. And I say, how hard is it for two grown-ups people to get together? This is where I wrote it in the script.
You couldn't wait to say it earlier, though. You couldn't wait.
Well, you kind of brought it up, and so I jumped in. Not rocket science, people. Not rocket science.
Rachel calls Dex, and they have a heart-to-heart. She admits that she can't bear seeing him with Darcy.
Dex asks her if she'll spend the 4th of July weekend. Just the two of them. They can make it if they try. Just the two of them.
No. See, you must have misheard Corinne. You don't want to jump into a full weekend alone. Start with the lunch, a brunch, maybe a breakfast. Small baby steps. You're going full whole hog here. Oh. Somebody's going to notice your absence. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Darcy is pretty self-involved and she's going to be in Hampton partying 4th of July style. So Dex will tell Darcy he has to work and stay in town and it'll give him some time to figure things out. He asks, what do you say? But before Rachel has a chance to answer, Ethan walks into Rachel's office. They're meeting up for lunch, and she hastily gets off the phone with Dex. Ethan feels the tension in the room and notices the flowers. Who are those from? Rachel super casually responds, oh, Marcus. Ethan is quickly doing the math, and he was who you were on the phone with? And oh, look, a card. He picks it up, but she snatches it back. Ethan eyes her intensely. Rachel, who are the flowers from? Do you want me to guess? Rachel looks at him sadly. Please don't. And the next thing we know, they're walking in the park and it's evident that Rachel has spilled her guts. Ethan doesn't condone what's happened, but is a little impressed that Rachel has done it. Besides, he can see the two of them together. Rachel and Dex make sense, and even though cheating is wrong, he knows Rachel is conflicted about the affair. But Darcy wouldn't be if the shoe was on the other foot. In the next scene, we see Rachel shoe shopping with Darcy. Rachel is trying to gracefully leave. She has a lot of work, but Darcy guilts her into staying. She has ulterior motives. What she wants is for Rachel to write her wedding vows. Knowledge. We are gathered here today. Darcy reads something she probably found on the internet about love being like a flowing ocean, knowing that Rachel will give her something better. Rachel hesitates for a moment before launching into a touching description of how she feels about Dex. It's descriptive, but the highlights are he makes her want to be a better person. Huh?
I mean, not cheating with my best friend's fiance.
I know. I'm like, right, so how does he make you want to be a better person? Question mark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same question.
Uh-huh.
I second that.
Yeah. The whole time Rachel's pouring her soul out, Darcy's making faces as if she can't relate to what her bestie says until Rachel's final thought. She looks down reflectively and says, the thought of life without you is not only unbearable, it's unimaginable. Rachel hears Darcy enthusiastically say, oh my God! But it's not about the speech. She sees four of her girlfriends at the other end of the store and rushes over to say hi. Rachel, tired of being taken for granted, promptly texts Dex. 4th of July is on! Exclamation point. They're gonna spend the long weekend together. Ooh, fun sexy times. Sexy time! The weekend has come and they have a date. At first, he's going to come up, but sex. So she comes down. They walk around the empty city and he tries to take her hand, but she's not ready. Things are still weird, but he confesses, even though things are weird, this is the best weekend I've had in a long time. Ultimately, they go back to her flat and lay on her rooftop balcony. He asks about the night that they were studying torts, if she felt the same thing he was. She admits that she did, but couldn't imagine somebody like him liking somebody like her. He slowly brushes back the hair from her cheek, and they full-on start making out under the stars, / implied sexy times. Meanwhile, back in the Hamptons, Darcy, Claire, and Marcus are partying style, raising a celebratory toast amongst a raucous crowd at the Jetty.
And really don't seem to be missing Rachel or Dex.
No.
Nope. The next day, again, Rachel looks angelic as she wakes up in the bed, and this time she's not awoken by her bestie's shrill message, pick up, pick up, pick up. She's awoken by Dex, staring at her with hearts in his eyes. She smiles, because who wouldn't want to wake up to that? And he slowly admits that he's in love with her, and was possibly from the moment he met her. She smiles, but there's a slight conflict behind her eyes. But it's gone. Like that. Later, they go walking through the park, and since she's not comfortable with hand-holding, he begins to describe what their hand-holding would feel like. I would put my hand in yours and slowly clasp it around your fingers. And it's a good thing they weren't actually holding hands, because across the park, they're approached by Dex's parents. Hey, guys! Awkward introductions are made, and his parents can immediately tell that something's going on. But they all go out to lunch together anyways, and seem to have an amicable time until Pa Dex, because I didn't bother to get his name, asks to have a private word with the son. They head to the bar, and Pa admits that he shouldn't be day drinking because Ma doesn't like it. And Dex takes the opportunity to open up to his dad and ask his opinion. What would you do if you went too far down the wrong path? Pop smells what his son's cooking and relays that most of the time what you want and what's right are in odds with each other. He reminds Deck that his family doesn't condone that sort of behavior. And his son gives a hollow, yes sir, answer. On the way home, Rachel notices a difference. Dex is acting weird, especially when she invites him up and he declines, explaining that, oh, everyone's on their way back into town, so I should get back home and I'm kind of tired, but I meant everything I said last night. He gives her a somewhat sad kiss on the cheek and leaves. A few days / weeks later, because time is just crazy in this movie, Rachel's having lunch again with Ethan at the Shake Shack.
Oh, I know.
What?
'Cause later there's a text that says July 8th. So there's not, it's just a few days later. There's not much time that passes
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. 3 days later or something like that. Yeah.
They're at lunch. Ethan gets livid and calls Dex a coward who's stringing Rachel along. And worse off, she's letting him. He never thought he'd see the day where Rachel is one of those women who can't make a decision. She gets offended and in turn lays into him about his life. And when's the last time he made a decision? And he quietly admits, a few days ago when I decided to move to London. Rachel looks flabbergasted and he tells her, I was going to break the news to you until you started yelling at me. She is heartbroken, but also hopeful for her friend. After their lunch, she's walking in the park and sees Marcus skateboarding with a bunch of kids. He gives her a tentative wave and they sit down on the bench to have a chat. He, of course, says all kinds of inappropriate, mildly offensive things and asks, how big do you think it is? It's no surprise that she assumes he's talking about his penis, but he's not. He's asking how big the house is going to be that Dex's dad is buying for him and Darcy. And Rachel is floored. Marcus adds, yeah, my dad's their family's realtor and they're checking out like $2 million mansions up in Winchester right now. Must be nice, huh?
Westchester.
Cut to Westchester. I want to say Winchester because I think they should get a mystery house.
They totally should get a mystery house.
Don't go to Westchester, go to Winchester. Cut to Darcy and Dex house hunting with the rents and a realtor. They're in a huge, spacious mansion, and Darcy is soaking it all in. This is going to be her future life, while Dex looks pensive and reserved. Later that night, Rachel's at home alone in her apartment when the phone rings. It's Darcy calling her, "You little tart. Marcus mentioned that he saw you in the park, so is he circumcised?"
Rachel brushes off the question. Behind a bush.
I know, like, let it go, girl. Let it go. Ugh. Rachel brushes off the question because she has one of her own. "When were you going to tell me about the house?" Darcy's taken aback because how did she know, but then remembers that Marcus is a family realtor and pshaws. Not like it was a secret, but there was this amazing house that we just loved. Dex is laying in bed next to her looking over paperwork and chimes in, but nothing is set in stone yet. Rachel realizes she's on speakerphone and asks Dex, "Oh, Dex, did you like the house too?" He mumbles about it being okay, and Darcy chastises him. "What are you talking about? It was perfect." Rachel, feeling hurt, blurts out, "Oh yeah, Darcy, by the way, Marcus is circumcised," and hangs up the phone because she knows that will cut Dex deep and wants him to feel what it's like to have questions and not be able to get answers.
You know what would cut you deep?
A knife?
No, deeper than that. If I were to go house hunting for $1 million houses that my future father-in-law was going to buy for me, and I did not let you know that that was happening,
I would kill you. I would literally kill you. I would tell you to run, change your number, and never cross paths with me in a dark alley or a dimly lit room, because I would shank your ass.
Would you, like, question our entire friendship if I didn't know me? Yeah.
Do you even know me? My Twitter handle is "don't give me your address. I will Google your house because I want to see where you live. I don't even know you and I want to know where your house looks like." And if you, my bestie, was house hunting, I couldn't be held responsible for my actions. That's all I'm saying. I could not be held responsible for my actions.
But I'm a good friend. You know, when I get my billionaire fiance, I will bring you along for the house hunting.
And he better be okay with it. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be like all in. Either that, or you could just pretend like you got yourself a little toy poodle and you put him in one of those little doggy strollers, and it'll just be me like popping my head up every so often, looking around and then ducking back down in.
You have like a little frilly hat on. It's July 8th, and Dex attempts to call Rachel at work. I know this because I paused the text so I could figure out what the date was so that I can know how much time was in between. Oh, because there's a big difference between Ethan being like, "He hasn't contacted you yet," when it's been like, I don't know, a month, versus like 2 days, you know?
Right.
Rachel texts Dex telling him, "Go talk to your house." A few nights later, it's Darcy's.
I would love to. I would love to talk to my house. I wish I had a house to talk to.
They're looking, and all of a sudden there's a Tamra whoop against the window. "I see you." Looking at the house, like, Claire looks at Ethan. A few nights later, it's the end of Darcy's bachelorette party, and the girls pull up to Rachel's apartment and drunkenly file out. Rachel's ready for the night to be over, but Darcy is not, and invites herself over for an impromptu sleepover. Yay! But not really, because Rachel's kind of done. But I would be happy if you, not Darcy, did that. Anyways, Claire, who's also there, looks on, hopefully thinking maybe she'll get invited, but she's not.
No.
I know. I felt so bad for her because she's just like, puppy eyes, puppy eyes, puppy eyes. And she's waiting for Darcy to be like, "Come on, Claire, come join us." And instead, Rachel's looking between Claire and Darcy, and Claire's looking at Darcy, and Darcy's like, "Come on, Rachel, let's go."
I think it kind of makes sense in hindsight, because I think Darcy was inadvertently trying to get some intel about Rachel's sexy time with Marcus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Darcy. Upstairs, the besties are brushing their teeth and getting ready for bed when Darcy starts grilling Rach about Marcus. Per what Tam postulated, Rachel tries brushing off her Darcy's questions, but is thankfully saved by the bell. Her phone rings. She picks it up, and not so thankfully, it's Dex, who gushes that he misses her and he's downstairs and wants to come up and see her. She stupidly blurts out, "You're downstairs?" Darcy demands to know, "Who are you talking to at 3 a.m? Rachel coolly says, "Ethan?" And Darcy runs over to the window because it sure sounds like a booty call to her. She sticks her head out the window just as Dex ducks into a doorframe so she can't see him. Darcy yells out to the night air, "Congratulations! I didn't think you had it in you!" Rachel hangs up the phone. Their cover is not blown, and Darcy seems titillated by these new developments. She turns on the iPod and selects Salt and Pepper's Push It. Demanding they do their 6th grade talent show routine. It's the highlight of the movie. They laugh and dance, and we could see the remnants of their special relationship they must have had when they were younger. The night ends with them laying on the living room floor talking, covered by a strawberry shortcake comforter.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yes. Darcy admits that she's glad they stayed friends because you hardly ever remain friends with people you grew up with. And then they get all sappy and sentimental about all the special moments in their life and how Rachel's been in every single one. Her friend is taken aback by the sentimentality and asks where it's coming from. Darcy sleepily says it must be because she's gay married, and then starts drifting off. Rachel attempts to tell her that she did something awful, but never finishes because Darcy mumbles that, "I would never let anybody hurt you, Rachel. And I know that you would be the same way for me and not let anybody hurt me." So Rachel keeps the secret to herself another night.
It is so crazy how people are friends when they're kids and they hardly ever, ever stay friends when they grow up. Right, Corinne?
Yes.
Such a rare thing.
Know anything about having a lifelong friendship or anything. Although a lot of our big moments, we actually haven't had together.
No. Maybe we just haven't had enough big moments.
Your sister died. Yay! I know. It's like been for like the funerals and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're like, oh, okay, who got married? When you got, no, not when you got married. When I got married, no, not when I got married. When you had a baby, no, you didn't have a baby. When I had a baby, no, I had a baby. When you bought a house, no, you bought a house. No, okay, well, fuck, what the hell is it? That one time when I pooped and it looked like a Smurf, you were there.
Yes.
It was blue.
Amen.
I had a Slurpee.
It was amazing.
It was damnedest thing.
I tried calling the Guinness Book of World Records, but you said this is a private moment that only the two of us should know about. Oh, fuck. We shared it on the podcast. Oh,
damn it.
Damn it. I do also have to say that fucking Jennifer Goodwin and Kate Hudson have some moves when they reenacted their Salt and Pepper routine. Yeah. Dear God. They danced better than me and I was mad. I was mad about it. Both of them. You know, sometimes there's usually like a good one and the one that kind of was just like trying to keep up. No, they both were kicking ass in that little routine.
Oh, yeah. No, they put in the work to be coordinated and they were really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm still mad that we don't have a coordinated dance
me
together.
Me too. Oh, my God.
That could be our next fun moment together. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But I will tell you that Eternal Flame is a terrible song to have a coordinated dance to. We need to figure out something better.
Oh, yeah. Unless we want to look like Romeo and Michelle and Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion when they're doing Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
No.
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 No. No.
The next morning, Darcy asks if she should marry Dex. After a hesitation, Rachel assures her that she should.
Why? Why does she say that? Why?
I'd be like,
why are you having reservations? What's going on in your head? Let's talk it out. And then, oh, maybe you shouldn't marry him. And I don't have any ulterior motives for saying that.
I'd be like, maybe you should think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Darcy seems relieved at the Assurance and cryptically mentions some stupid things she's done, finally admitting that she cheated on Dex with a guy from work. But it was just sex. Not like she loved him. But Dex hasn't touched her since the 4th of July. So it was totally warranted, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Not having
sex. What is it now, the 10th?
Yeah, I know. Seriously. Exactly. Not having sex with a partner for a few days is really an excuse to have sex with somebody else. Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
The news is surprising to Rach, but instead of changing her advice and telling her to absolutely not marry him, she stays silent and instead runs to Ethan. I want to run to you, ooh, ooh. But not that Ethan. Way because it's Ethan. They chat and Ethan isn't thrilled about any of it, but he's rooting for Rachel to get a fucking backbone. He also points out that even though Darcy always talks about giving up Notre Dame for Rachel, that he doesn't think she actually got in there. The woman shared Michael Jordan's rejection form letter when she invited him to the prom, but not her acceptance letter to that college. He pushes the point. You're all going to hell anyways. You might as well do something for yourself. Rachel doesn't appreciate his advice, and she leaves in a huff. In a huff!
But not before telling him to butt out, Ethan!
Ooh.
But he doesn't, because the next weekend he's at the Hamptons again.
Oh, no.
He hates anybody in the Hampton house, but he said, why are you there, Ethan? Like, maybe his apartment's still flooded. I don't know. And he's lounging on the beach, drinking a beer.
He's got his pocket popcorn for the shit show is what he's got.
I guess so. I secretly think maybe he's like hoping it all goes down and he's got a front row seat to it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it might. It just might. There is a casual badminton game going on in front of him. Rachel and Marcus against Darcy and Dex on the beach. Darcy decides to heckle Ethan because she's a poop for not being sporty and challenges him. Hey, Romeo, why don't you go help your Juliet? Winky, winky. He's confused until she whispers, Ethan's Rachel's secret lover. Ethan accepts the challenge, remarking, I don't know we were sharing secrets, but hey, I'm all in. He takes over Marcus's spot and proposes that every point should come with the secret. Darcy loves the idea, and Rachel and Dex look at each other nervously. Tensions are high, and after a few swats across the net, Rachel intentionally lets the birdie hit the ground. Ethan demands, we need a secret! And Darcy happily blurts, Ethan's having sex with Rachel! I was there when he showed up for a late-night booty call! Claire, who's also watching on the sidelines, realizes this means Ethan's not gay and smashes her half-full glass of wine down onto the sand, breaking the glass in the sand. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Uh-huh.
And leaves in a huff.
They have it make like this sound like it's glass hitting a hard surface, but it's the sand, so it wouldn't make a sound like
that. I think it hit the cooler.
Okay.
I think it hit the cooler and then shattered, but I was still like, oh, somebody's going to stab it. That's going to be so bad.
Yes.
Rachel, sensing the impending doom, asks if we could just kick it down a notch. Dex emphatically agrees, but not on Ethan's watch. He takes off his shirt and plays Olympic caliber badminton against Dex. They get so competitive, they completely cut the girls out of the game. It's Ethan to Dex, Dex to Ethan, Ethan to Dex, until Ethan finally wins the point and is about to oust Rachel and Dex's affair. But before he can get a word out, Rachel smacks him hard in the face with her racket.
All right.
So much so that she knocks him off his feet. He thinks she broke his nose and tells her so when they're alone on the beach. Rachel doesn't understand why he's getting so involved in this affair, and he reminds her that she gets him involved, and I concur. If you don't want him to have an opinion, stop running to him every time you have a problem or want to vent.
Oh, it's a shit show.
Yes. Ethan tells her that she should just make a decision, but don't be surprised if Darcy never lets her and Dex have a relationship. She calls him an asshole, and he tells her, yeah, but I'm the only asshole here that cares about you. Is he, though? Like, I mean, I'm sure Dex probably has some pretty strong feelings, but he's being a douche. And a chicken. And
yes, spineless. Definitely a chicken.
Yep. That night at the jetty, Darcy is grilling Dex about what the heck happened on the beach, and he feigns ignorance. Meanwhile, Claire approaches Rachel and asks, Ethan's not gay, is he? And he'll never love me, will he?
Rachel sadly tells her that he won't. She gets teary-eyed but finds solace in the fact that, hey, at least I tried. Once she's gone, Dex approaches Rachel and complains, Darcy's all over me about that badminton game. But Rachel's done, and she tells him to figure it out for himself and leaves. He follows her to the door because, I don't know what to do! And she echoes Ethan and tells him to do whatever he wants, but to make a goddamn decision for once in his life, and not about what he's supposed to do, but what he wants. She walks out alone after dropping the mic into the night, and her damn memory flashes back, fucking memory, to the night when Dex met Darcy, because the movie could have ended here. There are a few points where I would just be like, if the movie ended here and she just walked out into the rain and was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm better than this. This guy's not making a decision and pulling the trigger on this relationship. I'm just going to go live my best life. Does that happen? No.
I'm going to run from you.
And the soundtrack would be made by Corinne and Queen.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury is coming back.
The night that Dex and Darcy met, Rachel came out of the bar bathroom way back in the day and saw them mercilessly flirting and decided to gracefully bow out. She told them she was tired. Dex offered to drive her home, but she encouraged him to stay, have fun. Once she made her way out the door, she was near tears, but they didn't fall because Dex chased after her and asked her, are you okay with what's going on with me and Darcy? Rachel nodded emphatically, sucked her tears back in and said, yeah, Darcy's great, and you never know what'll come of it.
That memory stopped adult Rachel dead in her tracks. She turns around and runs back to Dex. He's still in the doorway and she gushes. I shouldn't have left that night. I wasn't okay with you and Darcy getting together because I love you. I have always loved you. Call off the wedding. Don't marry Darcy. Be with me. Dex has a slight smile on his face, which turns to a grimace, and he tells her, I can't. I'm sorry, but I can't. Rachel is heartbroken and goes back into the rainy night, alone, 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 and home to New York, where she spends days reflecting and ultimately makes the rash decision to get out of the country. Where does she go? She goes to London, baby, to visit Ethan.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
A nice cup of tea and a crumpet.
Chip, chip. She comes down the arrivals escalator at the airport to find him holding a sign that says, Rachel. She mouths, I'm sorry. And he flips the sign around to reveal the words, me too. They hug and she plops a bag of Shake Shack into his arms. No product placement here. Not at all. Let's take Shake Shack on a how many hour flight between New York and fucking London? I'm sure it's going to taste great.
I did that with the chicken crack sandwiches from Bake Sale Betty's.
Oh, no, 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 no. Those will work. The chicken crack sandwiches, those keep well. An old burger, though? No. Ethan admits that the deliciousness almost makes him want to cry, but more importantly, the food poisoning of having food that's been just sitting for hours will make him cry harder. He also wants to know what the heck she's doing there days before the wedding. Darcy must be livid. And she is. She gets Rachel on the phone and shrieks, you need to come back! What are you doing in London? The band I picked sucks. The caterer is a nightmare. You have to come back now. 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 Rachel has had...
She says the band Rachel picked because Rachel was the one that heard it that night. So she's blaming the shitty band on her friend. What a peach.
Oh. You mean the band that Dex likes? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, Darcy, you are so special. You are a unique, unique woman. Rachel has had enough of being Darcy's lackey, firmly says no, and hangs up on her lifelong friend. Back at Ethan's flat, she's looking through old photo albums, admitting, I've waited my whole life for Darcy to get married. I'm like, girl, what about you? Shoot.
I know. Saying the same thing.
I've waited my whole life for you to get married, Tamara. What happened? What happened?
What? Oh. Jeez, you put that intense gaze back at yourself, girlfriend.
I know, but isn't that weird? I just thought that line
thought that was a weird statement, too. I'm like, girl, live for yourself.
Seriously. I've waited my whole life for Darcy to get married, but I don't want to be standing next to the both of them while they're making their wedding vows. Huh, I wonder why. Not only are you having a deep emotional affair and sexy times with Dex, also Darcy is a tool and she's cheated on him as well. So yay!
This is
going to be a marriage built on a rock solid foundation.
I think I would be standing there like stifling laughter, tears, and panic all at the same time.
There'd be a certain hysteria going on for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ethan still thinks that she should have told Dex about Darcy's infidelity, but she disagrees. I disagree too. She wants to be someone's first choice. Amen to that. And Darcy needs to be the one to broach that to Dex.
I forgot to say in the notes how when Darcy's screaming at Rachel, come back, come back, come back. Like Claire's behind her because they're both getting like their hair highlighted. She's like, oh, is she not coming? Do you need me to be your maid of honor? Yeah. I can do it. I could totally be your maid of honor. Like poor Claire is just trying to nudge her way into Darcy's life any way she can.
Claire, you don't want that. You think you want it because she's shiny, but she will blind you with her shine. Ethan assures Rachel that she is a first choice, and it takes a few moments for her to realize that Ethan's talking about himself. He would choose her. He sinks down into a chair across from her and shrugs and says, I like you, Rachel. I've always liked you. And when you start liking someone else, I liked you more. That also made no sense. Once you started liking someone else, I liked you more. I was like, what the? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
The first line was, what? You never wondered about me? What? You never wondered about me?
She goes over and puts her arm around him, and Ethan sighs heavily and says, I knew I should have gone after Claire.
So, again, movie could have ended here. Ethan could have proclaimed his love for Rachel. Rachel could have got that glimmer of, oh, shit, you're my best friend. Maybe there's something more there. And they wound up being happily ever after, letting fucking Darcy and Dex wallow in their old future broken marriage alone and without them while they live happily on the other continent. But no. Yeah. I would have liked that ending much more than her running off into the rain and living her best life. This is the ending I wanted the most.
Yes.
But no, because the next morning, Rachel wakes up and decides she has to go back.
It's the real happily ever after.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I kind of hated because Ethan was like, I like you. I really like you. And then he's like, oh, maybe I'm just homesick. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe I don't really like you and I just miss home because you feel like home to me. And I'm like, dude, now you're waffling and not making a decision, fucker. Like, you are doing the same thing. You were getting on a Rachel. But it also could have been that she didn't seem to be reciprocating the feelings and he was backpedaling. But still, ugh, that part. Ugh. The next morning, Rachel wakes up and decides she has to go back. Not for Darcy, but because she's not that girl who just walks away like she doesn't care. And besides, she says, Darcy didn't do anything wrong. Ethan doesn't want to hear it, though. I'm sick of you saying Daddy hits you because he cares. But that's not what Rachel's saying. The last few days have made her realize that Darcy wasn't taking things away from her. She was just giving them up to her.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever Darcy is, she's still Rachel's best friend and wants to be there for her. So she's going to the wedding! She's convinced Ethan, so he slides a cup of tea over to her and claims, well then, you've won. And next we see Rachel pulling up to her apartment in a cab, and who's there on her stoop? It's Dex! She asks how he knew she was coming home, and he admits that he called her office. Stalker? He wanted to be there when he got home, and who the heck at the office was going to tell him that sort of personal information unless somebody wants her killed. She tells him that he has to go. She's not doing this anymore. She pushes past him and tells him, Darcy deserves better. So do you. So do I. She unlocks her door, and he finally tells her, I called off the wedding. Why he didn't lead with this is beyond me.
Because I would have
stopped pushing past him. Which causes her to let him in her apartment. She asks what Darcy did when he told her. And he admits that she was upset mostly about what people would think and threw a few things. Rachel asks if he had mentioned about them and he didn't. Even though she did ask if there was somebody else. Her face falls a bit before he adds, but I didn't know if there was still an us possible, and Rachel doesn't know either. Dex says he understands and doesn't expect anything from her, but he wanted to thank her for asking for what she really wanted in front of the jetty because it helped him to do the same. And he was an idiot in front of the bar 6 years ago and in front of the jetty a couple of weeks ago because he made the worst mistake in his life. And they should also stop having conversations in front of bars. Her face softens and she chuckles before he grabs her face and plants a soft kiss on her.
Aww.
It's short-lived, though, because there's a knock on the door. Fuck. It's Darcy. In a dick move, Dex disappears from sight without saying anything because Rachel looks at the door and then turns back and he is gone.
Okay, two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, guess who does not need to respond, answer, anything? She's not there. She doesn't need, like, there's no way that fucking Darcy knows that she's home. This is not the age of tracking your friends. So she just needs to keep her mouth shut, make out with Dex, and she's good.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I don't blame him. Like, let's not complicate the situation further. I'm just going to tuck my way out of sight so that things don't, like, explode more, right?
I honestly think that he should have taken your lead and be like, don't answer the door.
Well, yeah, no.
Just don't answer it. Then all this would have been, like, foregone. We would have ended the movie there. And they kissed and they lived happily ever after. Another good ending.
Another good ending. No. Amen.
Rachel opens the door and Darcy saunters in, saying, I called off the wedding, plops down on the couch and adds, well, actually, Dex did it first, but I was thinking it. Rachel tries to get Darcy out the door because they should go for a walk and discuss this. I need some air. But Darcy needs to sit. She knows Rachel's been keeping secrets. Her friend slowly sinks down in the chair opposite of her. Claire told me you were lying about sleeping with Ethan, and I know you didn't sleep with Marcus. Why would you say you slept with Marcus and Ethan? Is it because you're jealous of me? Rachel's about to defend herself she realizes.
No.
What?
She says, I caught it the second time through. She says, are you trying to make me jealous?
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, excuse me? Yes, Rachel is sleeping with other men or pretending to sleep with other men to make you jealous, Darcy.
Oh, it's one of those movies. They're in love with each other. I see. Okay, it all makes sense now. Nope. Actually, it doesn't. Rachel realizes, Marcus, how did you know I didn't sleep with Marcus? And Darcy admits that he was the guy she cheated on Dex with. They hooked up on the 4th of July because they were both lonely. And even though they felt really bad about it, they only did it a couple more times. Rachel's shocked, but Darcy's not done. She tells her bestie that her and Marcus have a genetic connection. No, wait, that's not right. A chemical. Whatever, I'm not a word person. But she's going to need Rachel now more than ever because she's pregnant.
So they do have a genetic connection then in her belly.
It's so funny because I was like, Larry was walking back and forth while I was like watching this and he heard that one part and he's like, what is this movie about, incest? I was like, no.
Yes. Best part of the movie.
I was like, why would you think that? He goes, he just said they had a genetic connection. I was like, how much do you catch when you're passing by in these moments? Jesus Christ. Oh. Darcy said she knows Marcus is a total caveman, but he has a sweet side. Like this one time he made a splint for a baby chipmunk. And she totally reiterates a stupid chipmunk story that he uses on all the girls and all the clubs. Rachel is speechless, so Darcy quickly says she loves her, but she has to go. Marcus is downstairs waiting for me. She breezes out the door smiling and saying, it's crazy how things work out somehow. And then she's gone.
Rachel finally breathes a sigh of relief, but there's another quiet knock on the door. It's Darcy again. Her demeanor, though, has completely changed, and she motions her head to a chair and asks, is that Dex's jacket? Rachel mutters an excuse about picking it up when they went out to eat, but Darcy sees right through that shite because he was wearing it that morning. Darcy asks what it's doing there repeatedly, and each time Rachel gets more and more emotional until Darcy puts two and two together, and after she shakes her fist in the air, yelling, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal! She tears through the apartment, calling Dex's name, finding him in the kitchen, which is odd because she was just in there getting water. I'm guessing maybe she's just so self-obsessed that she didn't notice and just like had her eyes on the fridge and was like, fridge, meh. I don't know.
The apartment's not that big. Where the hell was he?
I was
inquiring
like,
want to know.
I was thinking that he was like tucking and rolling throughout like their conversation.
Parkour. Through the
apartment. When Darcy sees Dex, she pounces, calling him a liar. But he's heard everything she just admitted. And they scream at each other about who's more of a cheater. Then Darcy starts to leave in a huff. Before she does, she tells Rachel that she hates her multiple times with varying degrees of intensity and tears, and she never wants to speak to her again. She slams the door behind her and Rachel looks gutted and Ethan looks ashamed. Darcy looks kind of pissed, but she's not like sobbing or anything when she leaves the door.
Oh, okay.
She just is like, okay, let's go, you know.
Well, I think that whole, like, when she was like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, like, that was the part where she just like, okay, I'm done now. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Flounce. 2 months later, Rachel is walking down the street with an armful of dry cleaning when she sees Darcy. They tentatively approach each other, and Rachel tells her former bestie that she looks really good. Do you want a menage a trois? Darcy knows clearly she's going to be one of those pregnant ladies that carries all the weight in their belly. There's no menage a trois mentioned.
Okay.
Since time has passed, Rachel finally tries to apologize, but Darcy's still hurt and asks, sorry for sleeping with my fiancé? You were always jealous of me ever since I got into Notre Dame. Rachel is like, we're just going to ignore that part. But admits that she's not sorry for sleeping with Dex. She is sorry that she hurt Darcy. And that she misses her every day. And I'm like, girl, we need to sit you down with the book, Codependent No More, if you still miss Darcy every day after all of this shit.
It's so funny because you gave me the Codependent No More book, and then you gave me your sister's Codependent No More book, or whichever, vice versa.
Yeah.
You gave.
No, I gave, you had like notes. I gave you my sister's first, and then I gave you mine because it had notes in it.
It had notes in it.
Yeah.
But I just laugh every time I look at my bookshelf because I have two Codependent No More books sitting side by side on the bookshelf, like Codependent Little Friends.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Darcy pauses for a moment and keeps walking, but before she can round the corner, she turns back and says, I'm the happiest I've ever been, so whatever. Rachel genuinely says she's glad. Darcy walks on, but turns again to say, I am happy, really. Her icy demeanor thaws as she gently rubs her belly and smiles. This time, Rachel has tears in her eyes. Before Darcy rounds the corner, she gives a little wave. Their friendship might not be over after all. Weet, 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 weet. Just then, Rachel's cell phone rings. It's Dex. They meet around the corner, and his face lights up when he sees her. They share a sweet kiss, and he takes the dry cleaning from her. The dry cleaning that Darcy mentions. Oh, I bought Dex that shirt. I was like, girl, do you want to pee on her leg while you're at it, too?
Right. Have fun tearing that off my ex-fiancé while you're ravishing each other. Bitch.
Dex and Rachel happily walk down the street into the sunset, but this time they're holding hands. The end. But is it? At the end of the credits, we see Ethan hanging in London. When suddenly he hears his name being called, he turns and looks. It's a very pregnant Darcy traveling solo and looking for him. Ethan knows what to do. Run! Now it's the end. Or, as it says, to be continued. But there is no part two of this movie.
Did that really happen?
Yes. I am not making this up. It's at the end of the credits.
I never went through the whole credits to see that. I never made it past the credits. That makes so much sense. And you're like, oh, and she goes and sees Ethan in London. And I was like, what's going on, crazy pants?
Yeah, I know. I was like, it's at the end of the credit sequence. And you're like, no, I don't know. I've seen this movie so many times. You just haven't gone past the credits. Yeah.
No. When the credits are over, I turn the movie off. It's not a fucking Marvel movie. So there's nothing of note afterwards, I'm sure. Which I'm kind of glad I didn't see, because that would have just made me reinterpret and look into all sorts of things that never manifested. So I'm glad it just like
So, Miss Tamara, what did you think of Something Borrowed?
Oh, my sweet baby Jesus. This was a beast to write, A. B, I think it should have ended in so many different ways and it would have been so much better of a movie. It kind of stumbled along and found its way at the end, which I still kind of like the ending, but I like my versions of the ending way more because in them, the characters have more agency over their life and you're just kind of like, I don't know, like, should we stay together or break up or... But not a lot of diversity in this movie. No. There is some gay representation, but it's not genuine. Somebody's saying they're gay to get out of a relationship.
Does it's used
count?
More as a joke, which is not the cutest look.
Cute legalized gay t-shirt, not a cute look.
Yeah, no. Claire is the only one that has the good gay representation in this movie.
Yes, I wish more good things happened to Claire, sadly. Like, she just kept getting knocked down, but she still rolled with the punches. I think that Rachel is just as shitty as Darcy for sleeping with her fiance. Like, I know there was some history and there were some storylines, but I'm still like, dude, you had years to rectify the situation. You knew how you felt about him, and you wait till they get to the finish line. And then I thought Dex was shitty for, like, oh, you like me? Okay, I'm over here now. Like, yeah. It's just all the characters. I sympathized with all of them. I just didn't like their choices a whole lot.
Yeah.
And that is making me give this movie 2 dry. Maybe 2. I'm waffling between 2 and 2.5. Because I used to really like this movie. And the more I watch it, the more I'm like, oh, no. It was the reason I picked Feb. Woo, no, you didn't. Airy. Is because of this movie. So I'm going to give it a 2.5. I'm going to give it a 2 for the movie and a 0.5 because I'm like, you got to see this because it's so bad. How many dry kisses are you giving it, Corinne?
I give it 2 dry kisses. And, you know, originally when I first watched it, I was going to give it 3 because I was like, eh. So Rachel and Dex hooking up and their whole journey didn't really bother me that much. I mean, I don't think it was the best ethical thing to do, etc. Mm-hmm. But I understood the motivations and stuff for it. So that wasn't great, but, you know, whatever. What actually really kind of stuck in my craw about this movie is how Darcy was so sloppily written. She was like the easiest scapegoat in the world. Why is Rachel still, as a 30-year-old adult, friends with Darcy? Why is Dex interested in Darcy? Maybe in their early 20s, but like by the time they're in their 30s, late 20s, no, like it doesn't even make sense. And she is just an awful person. You know, she throws Rachel a birthday party really for herself and invites all of her friends. She ditches out on Rachel at every opportunity, and she uses Rachel when she's convenient, but leaves her behind when she's not.
You can kind of almost categorize that. Like, I'm not defending her at all, but maybe, you know, she's in that whole bridezilla mindset. Like, it's my time, it's my ceremony, this is like my day and you have to do my bidding. Maybe she wasn't like that the months before she got engaged and closer to the wedding.
I if it had been with around her being demanding about wedding stuff specifically, I would be on board with that, but it was more just generally how she treated Rachel, and I thought that it just was, that was bad. And like, Claire was supposed to be a funny scapegoat. And like, I felt like she was the one person who was like genuinely kind and sweet in this movie. And she was just treated super crappy and made to look like a buffoon. And so like the way they kind of showed women in this movie, I really wasn't wild about. So that's why it gets a 2.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this movie was less about a romance and more about a woman who is figuring out how to blaze her own destiny and get the fuck away from a toxic relationship.
Oh, and then that beautiful ending would have been her getting the fuck out of a bad relationship with Dex and just walking out into the rain and keep on going and just never look back.
Have some agency over your life, Rachel. Grow a spine and be like, you know what? He's not worth it either. Neither of them are. I'm going to go move to Portland, Oregon. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Why not?
But I feel like Dex also had a parallel journey to our friend Rachel of finding his own agency as well. So, you know, they both were on the agency choo-choo train. So, yeah.
I just have a little, I mean, I know it's just cis white males have it so hard and just, you know, they're so wishy-washy because everybody makes their decisions for them and the world is a complicated place that they just don't fit into.
I know. It's difficult. Yeah. It's also difficult, you know, having your parents buy you a couple $1 million house.
$1 million homes. Yeah. 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 I mean, that's... I didn't want the brick facade, Dad. I said that.
Don't you listen to me? Don't you listen to me?
How many times do I have to say I don't want Cape Cod? I don't want a Cape Cod style house. Jeez.
Sometimes it's just so hard. Okay. Sometimes it's so hard. So, Tam, what movie do we have coming up next week?
The Bros. We have The Bros. Corinne's choice, and it's another installment in our Feb. Woo, no, you didn't, Ari.
Where Billy Eichner is full of Feb. Woo, no, you didn't, you, Ari. As well as Luke McFarlane is also full of Feb. Woo, oh, no, you didn't, you, Ari. There's lots of gay sex. There's drug use. This is, I think, bar none, the dirtiest, hottest, sexiest, perhaps, movie that One Dry Kiss has ever done.
Wow.
And I'm very much interested in this conversation. It will be a 5-hour long podcast.
All right.
Oh, if you have anything you'd like to say about Sweet Gay Lovin', about Feb, ooh, no, you didn't, you, Ari, or about Something Borrowed, which was a wild ride. Thank you, Tam, for choosing it. It definitely had a lot of things for us to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
You can email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us via the social medias on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, all at onedrykiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you can find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, we appreciate you stopping by and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah! See you next time.
See you next time.
Or because his dismissive wife is not.
Wife?
And seemingly ducked
Fiance.
Out. Fuck! God damn it. I just want them to be married so bad. I'll take the mnemonic TDC. Damn, don't care.